Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1 and following. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hath patience, for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen, amen. We want to talk about yes, but. Yes, but. Hallelujah. Yes, but. The verses that we read are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he appears to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. Scripture says that John was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony that he had not done anything wrong, but for the preaching of the gospel, he got paid off in the Roman penal colony called Patmos. We who are Christians, we realize that there are some ups and downs. Every day will not be a sunny day, but in the midst of whatever happens, we have the assurance of the resurrected Christ that he will be with us. And if he is with us, then there is none who can come against us. Oh, they might raise up, but the Lord says, amen, I've got you in my hand. Amen. I'm grateful to the Lord that he says in verse number 3, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. And that's really why we want to keep you in Revelation for a while. Amen. Amen. There's a blessing in reading and hearing. Amen. And we all are standing in the need of a blessing. Right. Amen. 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 And if you don't want your blessing, well, ask the Lord to give it to me. Amen. Amen. But all of us are standing in the need of a blessing. If we don't need this, we need that. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus appears to John on Patmos. In verse 11 of chapter 1, he announces that I am Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. Amen. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last. Jesus is the first and the last, and all points in between. But he says to John, what you see, I want you to write in a book and then send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, it is interesting when we look at these seven churches, for when we take a close look at them, we will find our church somewhere in there. Amen. Amen. If y'all don't believe me, just keep looking at me. Amen. You will find, amen, our church, and if you're not a member here, you'll find your church in here. Now, we look at the seven churches of Asia, and they are listed geographically as the runner leaves and takes the word, amen. The first church he would get to would be Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a church that received a commendation from God. God said to the church at Ephesus, or to the elder, the angel of the church, he says, I commend you for your hard work, for your perseverance. Amen. He had, though, a rebuke. And the rebuke was that they had left their first love. Amen, amen. But there was an action to counteract that, and that was simply to remember and repent. Amen. I want you to always think of grace and repentance as the same coin with two sides. Amen. All of us like to talk about grace. Amen. But we don't always want to talk about repentance. But if we're to talk about grace, we also have to talk about truth. It is absolutely amazing that John 1:17 said, the truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to have grace. You know, we like to have grace, but you got to have some truth. And the truth is what will set you free. Amen. The second church he writes to is Smyrna, the church that is at Smyrna. The commendation to them was that they had suffered persecution and they were in poverty. But it's interesting when you read that because he says, I know your poverty, but the truth of the matter is you're rich. Amen. When you're rich in heavenly things, amen, you've got something that will transcend both here and eternity. Amen. And if you'll notice, there was no rebuke to the church that was at Smyrna. Amen. And he says to them, as an action, don't fear and be faithful. Amen. For every church that there's no rebuke, the Lord simply says to you, don't fear, be faithful. Hold on to what you got. Amen. To the church at Pergamos, he commended them that they were true to faith. But their problem was he had to rebuke them because they compromised. Too many churches will compromise. Too many preachers of the gospel will compromise. If I can get this, I will do whatever is necessary to get over. Let me tell you, the Lord is looking for those that will stand fast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The action that is required for those who compromise is repent. Amen. Come on back to the Lord. You know what? He's always willing and ready to receive you unto himself. The fourth church that he writes to here is Thyatira. Amen. He commends them for their love and their faithful service. Amen. However, he says, there is a problem with immorality. I don't care how holy you are. Amen. If you ain't living right, God says you're missing it. Amen. To correct it, the action that's required, he says, repent. It's amazing how many times the Lord says there is the necessity to repent. Repentance is a good thing. It puts you back in a right relationship with God. The fifth church is Sardis. The Lord had no commendation for Sardis at all. He says of Sardis, they were superficial. You know, at some point, we need to be real. Am I talking to real folk in here? Amen. We need to be real about what we're doing. If you love the Lord and you wave your hands, you ought to do it all of the time. Amen. You ought to be real about it. If God has blessed you and you're saying amen at church, amen, you ought to be able to say amen wherever you are. Because God is good and God is keeping you. No wonder the psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, when the enemy rose up against me, he would have swallowed me up quick. But thanks be to God that God is faithful. To the church at Sardis, the Lord Jesus says they need to wake up and repent. How many folk are asleep in the Lord's house? And I don't mean physically asleep. I mean spiritually asleep. You're not attuned to what's going on. My brothers and sisters, time is winding up. It is time for us to get real about the things of God. Amen. There was a discussion earlier about the shootings in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, do you realize that the climate is being ginned up for those kinds of action? When you talk about a segment of the population, you get crazies who think that's their excuse to eradicate what they perceive to be the problem. But I want you to know that God is still in control. Amen. But he's saying to those who are superficial in your relationship, get real. Amen. Know that the Lord is on his way back. And I got to tell you, the truth is, none but the pure in heart shall see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then to the church at Philadelphia, the church with an open door. His commendation to them was they were faithful. Amen. And for that, he said, I'll open a door for you. Amen. That no man can shut. Amen. There was no rebuke for Philadelphia. And you know, it's good to when the Lord checks you out, you get a clean spiritual bill of health. Think about your relationship to him in the church of the living God. And if God is checking on friendship, where do you think friendship lies in the whole order of the seven churches? And then he says to them, because you're faithful, hold on. Amen. Just hold on to what you got. And you know, it is amazing, and we'll get back to that in a minute with the church at Ephesus. It's amazing how folks start out really well. The church at Galatia started out well. But then Paul had to write to them, you did run well, but what hindered you? What got in the way and caused you to lose focus? And that's what happens. Folk lose focus. They start looking at self. They look at self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, rather than looking at what God is doing and expecting from them. The word that should have come out was ego-grandizement. Yeah. And then the seventh church was Laodicea. The Lord had no commendation for the church at Laodicea. He says of them, they were lukewarm. And it's bad to be lukewarm because he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. There is nothing that you're doing, amen, that is pleasing in my sight. So he says to them, the action you need to take, you need to be earnest about this business. And my brothers and sisters, my appeal to you is be earnest in your dealings with the Lord's business, knowing that he knows everything. Amen. Amen. He's omniscient. No thought can be withheld from him. We sometimes fail to, you know, we will say, bless your hearts, well, you know, the Lord knows. Boy, you never said anything truer than that. The Lord does know. And you better quit playing with the Lord. Get real, because this is getting real time. But he says, be earnest and repent. Now, anytime that there is a church, amen, that the Lord has nothing good to say about you, you're in trouble. Amen, amen. There were two churches the Lord didn't have anything good to say about them. Amen. The church at Ephesus, the church that we're going to look at. Amen. The Lord had a lot of good things to say. Yes, but. Yes, but. You're doing a lot of good work. But there are some things that's lacking. Amen. Amen. Christ commends the church at Ephesus. He commends them for working hard. Now you think about this. For working hard, for being patient, for resisting sin, for critically examining the claims of false prophets or apostles. And you know, any church that's able to tell false prophets, you're doing something right. Amen. Because you've always got some false prophets that want to tell you what thus saith the Lord, and it's more of what thus said they. And number five, amen, the church at Ephesus suffered patiently without quitting. Now let me tell you this, my brothers and sisters, every church should have these characteristics. But after having said that, they all must come from our love for Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't do it just to do it. Too oftentimes we get caught up in doing it because there is the expectation that we're going to do it. But whatever we do ought to emanate from a heart of love. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, let me read from the New Living Translation. He says, but I have this complaint against you. What's the complaint? You don't love me or each other as you did at the first. Now, it would be helpful then if you got your Bibles open to Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Let's see what the first was. See, the problem is some folk will tell you how they love you. Some folk will act out that love, and it looks really good. But he expects you to continue in that love. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. Amen. That was in the beginning. But in the course of time, and let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, there is a problem for many people with time. Boy, I feel like preaching today. Amen. They can't handle time. Amen. Amen. The word that is given in the first generation is absolute. Man, we just believe it. We're going to do it. But to the second generation, the word becomes optional. Amen. I can take it or leave it. Amen. I don't have to do it. Amen. Because the mother folk ain't doing it. It's optional. And that's really where a lot of folk are. You started out at the small church that taught the word of God, and you were so happy in that. But then you stopped by where Dr. Bobo is, and Dr. Bobo is living large. And because Dr. Bobo has this big, magnificent building, but it's not dedicated to the Lord. It's a temple erected to Dr. Bobo. Preach, Pastor. So truth to the second generation becomes optional. I can take it or leave it. Did you really? Well, the Lord really didn't mean that. Now, how do I know that this is true? Look at how we are dealing with homosexuality. It used to be it was in the closet. Now it's in your face. Amen. Amen. You turn on a television, look at an ad. Now two brothers. Say, what? We're going to legitimize it by keep on putting it in your face. Amen. And you will get some preachers that say, well, there really is nothing wrong with that. You can love whomever you can love. Yes, you ought to love because that's what the church is about. But amen. But when it comes to that kind of love, amen, the Lord says that for this cause will a man leave his sex and cleave. That's right. Amen. It's not, amen, Bob and Steve. Amen. We will allow the world system to infiltrate the church, and we won't say anything about it. Amen. Many churches, y'all just hold on to your seatbelt. Many churches, when you look over there at the organ, you're not quite sure of the gender that's playing over there. We know who you are, though. Amen. 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 And that's the way it ought to be. You ought to be able to identify. Amen. Optional. Optional. Lord, I know what you said, but you really didn't mean that. I know what you said about tithing, but you didn't mean that. Lord, I know what you said about loving, but I can't love so-and-so, and you know how come I can't love them. You're going to bring love, God into your non-ability to love. But then the third generation, you know, it has moved from the absolute word of God to optional, and then it becomes a matter of opinion. Amen. A matter of opinion. And my opinion is the same as yours. I can take mine and take yours. It doesn't really matter. But what happens, and the Lord Jesus speaks about this in verse number five. He's, when folk continue to live like that, amen, the word of God is gone. Amen. There is no word that will cause them to do what's right. And it becomes a matter of what he says, that the seven, he will remove the candlestick out of its place. Oh, the church's still there, but it doesn't mean anything. It's no longer effective. Amen. It might be full of folk, but it's not effective because people are not hearing what thus said the Lord. It is a necessity that we hear what God has to say. When we talk about love, and God has made it clear in your Bibles, if you would, turn to John 13. I want you to see this for yourself. In John 13 and verse number 34 and 35. Now you remember in the Old Testament, he says in Exodus, you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Y'all remember that? But now he says in John 13 and verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you. What is it? That ye love one another. How? As I have loved you. Come on here. That you also love one another. Amen. Now he said, let the standard be the same way I love you. How much did he love us? He loved us enough to go to the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. You see, sometimes when we say love your neighbor as yourself, you know, sometimes you might be schizophrenic. And you got some problems. You want to beat your head against the wall. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about loving the same way God loves you. He loved you enough to give his son. And his son loved you enough to give his life. But look at verse 35. This is what I want us to see. And I'm moving on. I want us to see that he says in verse 35, by this, the love that you have, all men shall know that you're my disciple. How? By the love that you, and it's demonstrative, that you have one for another. It's time that the church show that kind of love. Oh, yeah, I'll put up with them, but I really don't want to. Yeah, I know. You mean you want me to stand next to her? Oh, come on. You mean you want me to them? Let me help you here. We don't have to judge folk. First thing, we don't have to judge folk. But we can look at and we can hate what God hates, and we can love what God loves. If a person is demonstrating that God hates, then you hate it too. Amen. Amen. You see, I can love the person, but not love their lying. I can love the person, but not their whoremongering. Go ahead, Pastor. It becomes a matter of seeing things like God sees them. Amen. I don't have a problem with the person. I have a problem with the behavior. People need to get your behavior right. It is interesting that Paul commended a man, the church at Ephesus. They were going full steam ahead. However, time comes in. Many of the founders of the church had died, and the second generation believers had lost their zeal for God. They were busy. Amen. They were busy doing everything that needed to be done, but it was not done out of love. Let me tell you something. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, it is to God as a tinkling cymbal or sounding brass. Amen. It is time that we understand that God wants us to work for Him, but that work must be motivated by love. If it's not motivated by love, it will not last. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen. It will not last. When it's motivated by love, it will be as the church at Philadelphia. Amen. The church with the open door. Or it will be as the church in Smyrna. The church that had object poverty, but yet the Lord said that they were rich. Anytime that you live for the Lord, amen, God will bless you in your endeavors. One of the problems that the church at Ephesus had is that they had lost sight on the seriousness of sin. And my brothers and sisters, we are there now. Sin is not serious to a lot of folk. Amen. We wink at sin instead of calling it out by its name. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Do you not know that for many folk, particularly when they talk, Brother Alvin, about the preacher, amen, the only sin that they can spell is S-E-X. Got some other sins beside that. Amen. Amen. But they watching the preacher to see what he going to do. Amen. And they are liars, backbiters, doing all that kind of stuff. And the Lord says, if you continue in that, you lose sight on the seriousness of sin. And when you lose sight on it, you fail to realize that sin separates. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. If you're in sin, God cannot continue with you. He hasn't dropped you, but you got to repent. He tells us clearly where there is a problem and you're out of harmony with Him, as the church at Ephesus was, even with all of the hard work they were doing, there was a need to repent. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, repentance is a good thing. Amen, amen, amen. One of the things that we need to understand that there are many who do not possess the character qualities that are found in 2 Peter 1 and 18. What is it you say? Glad you ask. I'm going to open my Bible and read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at, let's just pick up with verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, watch this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But watch this. But he that lacketh these things is blind. You got a lot of folk that's blind and they don't know they blind. Amen, amen. It's bad to be physically blind. It's worse to be morally blind. But it's even worse to be spiritually blind. You've got folk who are spiritually blind. They don't understand that it's in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. But what the Lord says, and each individual has to apply this to him or herself. Amen. You can't apply it to anyone else. You can't say, well, oh, so-and-so really needs more faith, and they need more virtue, and they need more. You are not in a position to do that. But you can take a self-introspective look at yourself, and you can determine whether you need to do that or not. Praise God. And if we see there is a need, the Bible says, remember and repent. If we remember and repent, amen, amen, we then who are spiritually dead, not the we in this building, of course, amen, can be made alive. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 2 and 1 and verses following, he says to them, this was the beginning, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Amen. But God saved us. God brought us unto himself. One of the things that as a gospel preacher, I'm glad to tell people that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Even as the church at Ephesus, he loved and he sent word to them to get there together. Amen. The Lord told me to tell Friendship, if you're not where you ought to be, get your act together. Amen. Get real about the Lord's business. For the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back not for this building, but he's coming back for the church. Those who are the inhabitants of this building. Those who have professed a hope in him. He's coming back for you. And I'm glad to tell you that for those who have heard the good news. Amen, amen, amen. Christ has made it possible that you can live eternally with him. But when I look at the church at Ephesus, I see a close relationship to the church at Friendship. We're busy. We're doing a whole lot of things. And praise God that we are accomplishing some things. When I looked at how well you performed during the pastor's anniversary, I said, nobody but Friendship could do this. I was talking to somebody on the phone, and they told me, they said, you know, when I come to your anniversary and I see all those little added things that they do, I said, I just wish my husband would take note. This was a person whose husband is a pastor. I wish my husband would take note and we could do those kinds. So you're busy, Friendship. You're doing some wonderful things. And for the great majority of us, I'm glad that you love with that same kind of love that Jesus had, that unconditional love. Amen. For when we love unconditionally, amen, we don't let there be big I's and little U's. We understand that we're all in this together. And I wish I had somebody to say amen there. Amen. You see, we are not in a position to look down on anybody. Amen. Too often we're looking down on folk we ought to be looking up to, because we don't know who God will use in his business. But I stop by to tell you the God that we serve was rich. But he became poor that we might become rich in him. Have I got a witness? The Bible said he divested himself of all of the things that were glorious in heaven. Amen. Amen. Stepped through 42 purifying generations. Born of a virgin. Amen. Not born, amen, at the Ritz-Carlton. Amen. The Bible said he was born in a stable. Amen. Didn't have, any kind of mattress. And so they laid him in straw. Here is the king of this world laying in straw. But he lets me know that it does not matter where you come from. It only matters where you're going. And I stop by to tell you, amen, we're on our way to heaven. God has paid the price. The ticket has been purchased. And we're on our way. Have I got a witness? Jesus stepped through 42 generations, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. I'm so glad when I think about Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God. I think about those little cute pink feet. You know, babies have cute pink feet. I look at little Aubrey, and she's got those cute little feet with a cute little smile. But you know, they don't stay little. And Jesus didn't stay little. Amen. The Bible said, and he went about doing good. Gave sight to the blind, opened up deaf ears, and cut away stammering tongues. Amen. That's my master. Amen. But the greatest thing the Bible tells me he did was on a Friday. He put a cross on his shoulder, went up a hill called Golgotha. They nailed his hands and riveted his feet. Amen. For us, he died, but he didn't stay dead. Amen. They put him in a borrowed grave, and he stayed there Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. My question to you is, do you know him? Have you tried him? Some folk have tried everything else. Let me suggest trying Jesus. Amen. You tried the lottery and you didn't hit. Amen. You smoked crack and it made you high for a little while. But let me tell you about a high that you'll never come down from. Those that walk in the righteousness of God. Oh, I feel like preaching here. Those that walk in the righteousness of God. You have a spiritual high. Have I got a witness here? Amen. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has for you. Now you think about folks. Folk like to talk about stuff. Have I got a witness? Amen. They like to talk about stuff and what they have, but it does not matter whether you have a lot or little. You might not have two dimes to rub together, but if Christ be for you, everything is all right. How do I know? Because he told the church and saw it. He says, I know your poverty. I know how you're suffering, going through stuff. But you're rich. Have I got a witness? I'm glad that you might have to go through some things. Might have to shed some brine and tears, but one thing about the Lord, amen, the Lord said when you come up before him, he's not going to entrust the wipe of the tears to anybody but himself. For the Lord himself shall wipe away the tears. I'm glad that God will make everything all right. If you hear, you have tried. You don't know him in the pardon of your sin. You're still walking in darkness and you think everything is all right. Well, let me tell you, there is a better way. The old folks said it and they said it well. I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place and he has made me glad. Are you glad today? Amen. Some folks say I'm glad because I've got a roll of money in my pocket. Well, let me tell you, if the tariff keeps going up, your money won't mean very much. But I have decided to buy me some stock in the Heaven Saving Bank. It'll never lose its value. God, we will take care of us. And I got a witness here. How do I know? Because the Bible says that. That after 40 days, my Lord and your Savior stepped on a cloud and went on back to glory. Have I got a witness? And now he's sitting at the right hand of authority, making intercessions for you and I. When I mess up, he's right there to take care of me. He'll tell the world, that's my son. He's covered by the blood. I don't know about you, but I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Everything is all right. I serve a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Sometimes folk will ask me, why do you feel the need to hoop so loud? Well, I'm glad to tell you, the God that I serve said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land.
Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He is the Lord. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. Have I got a witness? And the sheep of His pasture. I don't know whether you can say hallelujah, but I stopped by to try to tell you, you ought to be able to say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let everybody on this side say hallelujah. 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 Some folks don't know how to wave their holy hands. Some folks don't know how to say thank you. Hallelujah. It's not in their vocabulary. But when the Lord picks you up, turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Hallelujah becomes your word. Praise ye Jehovah. Yeah, praise ye Jehovah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If He really done anything for you, you want to praise Him. Have I got a witness? It's hard to sit there placidly when the Lord has blessed you. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way, put food on the table. Lord have mercy, put clothes in your closet. How can you not say hallelujah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What did He do for me? I'm glad you asked. Sitting at the right hand, He sits there and appeals my adjudication. What He does for me, He's preparing a place for me. And I heard Him say, and if I go, I'm gonna come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, see, some folks don't understand that. Amen. You've been in the war too long. Amen. You got a hood mentality. Amen. You're used to junk cars and you're used to mess. But in heaven, no junk cars, no mess. Have I got a witness? Every day. Hallelujah. I bless His name today. Amen. Yes, you're doing a great job. But you can do more. Amen. Lord, help me to identify those areas where I can do more. And He'll do it. See, sometimes because we're so busy, we don't see our inequities. We don't see the things that are lacking, like love for my brothers and sisters. And I can't love God if I can't love my brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Oh, I can say it. But the truth of the matter is, we would not know love except He first commended His love to us. I'm done, but I want you to think about, yes, I'm doing a great job. But there's a little bit more that the Lord says. I need to love with a greater intensity both my brothers and sisters, and consequently love the Lord with a greater dimension. Amen. And when I love the Lord, there is nothing that I will withhold from Him. Amen. No, folks say they love the Lord, and they will go in their pocket, Lord, I got something for you. Let me demonstrate. That's what they got for Him. But when you go to the juice box, Minute Maid, you can leave all your coins at home. Amen. Amen. Because they won't do anything there. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, we don't want to be fair with the Lord. Baby, I'm going to send you to the movies. How much you need? And so we pull out a roll and start rolling it off. You going to church? Drop the coins. Yeah. Ain't picking on anybody. Amen. I just want us to be all that God has ordained for us to be. I want us to not have a but when it comes to an analysis of who we are in Him. Do you realize that there are a lot of yeses, but you get a but there? Amen. It negates the potency of the yeses. But if we would let God take care of everything, amen. We're done. We shall extend the privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation. Now.